Prime Number Radio presents the Mozahowitz Radio Program.
Oh, this is driving me crazy.
What's wrong, Oliver?
It's the door slamming. Mo is slamming shut every door of the studio.
Why?
Oh, who knows why? He's nuts is why.
Oh, I just think he's been a little grumpy lately.
If by lately you mean since the second grade, then I agree with you.
He just has a gruff exterior.
Oh, there he goes again. Yes, he has a gruff exterior and a mean interior.
I think deep down, he's a big pussycat.
He's certainly the noisiest pussycat I've ever heard. Why is he slamming these doors?
Because when one door shuts, another one opens up. I'm actually opening doors.
You seem tense, Mo. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Just that everything is falling apart, and I'm the only one that seems to care or see the cause of things.
Well, I certainly wouldn't take it out on the poor innocent doors.
Oh, they're not so innocent.
If you're through slamming, maybe you could take a look at the script for tomorrow's show.
There's some good material in there this week, if I do say so myself.
But the bad news is, we couldn't book the Burgess twins.
Good. When one door shuts, another one opens up. Who replaced them?
No one yet.
No one? But the show is tomorrow.
We know.
So?
We're working on it. Don is making some calls.
Well, hurry it up. I don't want to be left interviewing some other version of myself.
Mo, there's one other thing. This letter came today. Apparently you said you'd judge a school science fair, and it's this afternoon.
Science fair? When did I say I'd do that?
A kid came and asked you, and I think your exact words were, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, whatever, just get out of here, kid."
Oh, brother. I don't know anything about judging a science fair. Oliver, you go.
Oh, no, that ain't in my job description. Make Belinda go.
Hey, I got work to do. Besides, they want a celebrity, and Oliver and I aren't celebrities.
I'm not either. I just have a crummy radio show.
Evidently, some people listen, and they want you to judge the science fair.
All right, where is it?
Here's the address. Be there at noon today and ask for Mr. Mersine.
Okay. Oh, brother. Why did you agree to this, Onions?
I didn't. You did. No, Mo.
Man, I love that Mozahowitz.
Me too, brother.
You doing good, Grant Black? We need to stop and use the restroom or anything?
No, I'm good.
You hungry?
No, not so much.
I'm hungry, but I'm always hungry. So I can't tell if I'm really hungry or just normal always hungry.
When did you eat last?
Well, I had a mint a couple minutes ago, and before that a whole pie. But before that, I haven't eaten since breakfast.
Well, stop if you need to eat. I ain't in no hurry.
Thanks, Grant Black. I might if I see a sign for a restaurant. So far, I've just seen signs for fireworks and naughty bookstores.
And the Museum of Demons and Spirits.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool. And they had a miniature golf course. Sure you don't want to maybe swing back around and check it out?
Don't give them devils your money. It's all lies anyway. Them ain't demons in that museum. They're just people with demons in them.
What do you mean?
Demons are like ideas that you can't unthink. They get in people and sit down right next to other ideas and make themselves seem normal. So an idea like get a card for your grandmother on her birthday can be sitting there minding its business when along comes the idea, kick the dog, and takes a seat right next to it like it's perfectly normal.
Oh, I see.
Ideas are alive. They're a life form like angels and puppets.
There's so much I don't know. I love when you take me to school like this, Grant Black.
I've seen a lot, boy. Mildew.
Mildew.
Mildew is a sign.
I'm a Capricorn, but I know they added some new ones.
Mildew is a sign that you've looked away. A sign of neglect. That you took your eyes off of something, and then dampness and nastiness claimed it. Because you weren't paying attention. Attention is like rent. Pay it, or you can get evicted.
My band got kicked out of our practice space once for not paying the rent, and they put our soundproofing carpet outside, and it got mildew. So I hear you. Also, I lost my tube screamer.
Thoughtlessness can look just like evil.
If somebody fails to show up to help somebody who really needs it, you can't tell whether they were being cruel or just forgot.
That kind of forgetting is a sin. You can't pretend you didn't see something.
I sometimes say I didn't see Inland Empire so I don't get sucked into a long conversation.
The Bible says if you see your neighbor's ox running loose, you gotta go tell him. You can't pretend you didn't see it.
I once found my neighbor's cat in the road. It had been run over, and I really wanted to pretend I hadn't. But I scooped it up and put it in a box and took it to the vet. Then I had to tell her. She was old, and it was her closest friend. It died.
Also, if you can predict something is going to happen, you can't pretend you didn't see it in the future. Like, if you got a roof and you think somebody might fall off of it, you need to put a fence around it to prevent the foreseeable.
We were all talking about falling and dying at the bar one time, and this woman said something about, "Remember when Ricky fell?" And my friend Bobby thought that was his name, Ricky Fell. And so he started to laugh and laugh, but then he found out it was her fiance and that Ricky fell and died. And then he felt like a cruel idiot. So that can happen too.
You confuse me, boy.
Yeah, I confuse myself. I always feel like if somebody says something, I have to tell everything I know related to that word. So if you just said the word elephant in passing, I would tell an unrelated elephant story. Yeah, it's sort of my thing. I think it's a brain problem.
Yes.
You afraid of dying, Grant Black?
Why, you gonna kill me?
No. Oh, you're kidding me. No, I'm serious.
Well, it depends. We all die. I ain't looking forward to it, but maybe I won't even notice.
I think I'm afraid of getting sick, maybe. I'm afraid of being sad.
Sad can be pretty bad.
I love my friends and family, and I miss them even when I just go to the store.
I understand.
How do you love people and not get attached?
Well, I've never bothered to find that out. Maybe I'll get around to it sometime.
Hey, did you ever get around to it? No, never mind. Forget it. Listen, this is gonna sound nuts, but I can't remember where we're driving.
I don't think we're going anywhere.
Well, you have to go somewhere.
I mean, I don't think it's up to us anymore. Just keep going.
Well, how will I know when I'm there?
I imagine there'll be a sign.
Okay, I'll trust you. When we took car trips as a kid, I had no idea where we were at any given time or how long it took to get places. I just knew that there I was, and it wasn't up to me, so relax and amuse yourself.
That's a good plan.
We're dead, aren't we? Dead or dreaming?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure because you're Hardy's grandfather, and I'm absolutely sure I never knew you. And that radio show is sort of old-timey.
You're a sharp one.
That's not what my granddad said. He said I had a mind like a sieve. I know, it's funny. He's right. I can't even remember when he said that. Things go right in and right out. I just retain the chunks, but all the liquid information goes right down the drain.
Oh, it's supposed to. Your grandfather was full of hoo.
Nah, he was a good guy. Just got frustrated a lot.
I understand.
Oh, man, that's too many words. Hey, kid, tell me about your science fair project.
I investigated the epigenetic regulation of gene expression in induced pluripotent stem cells to determine how cellular reprogramming occurs.
Okay. And what's this? Hey, tell me about your project.
I spray painted a turd and now I have a golden poop.
Oh, man! That's great! Oh, perfect! First prize.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I'm going to sit here and let that sink in for a minute.
I gotta figure out what it means first. Who am I? Why am I here? Can't be the sun because I'm not hot enough, but I am full of gas. Oh, my friends, it's so good to be with you. Oh, I like to sing those sort of sad songs. I was always crying when I'd see Mr. Rogers or something talking to Daniel Striped Tiger. Maybe he never really talked to him directly, but I always thought when you're singing a lullaby to a little puppet, oh, that always made me cry. And, you know, I'd forget that, oh, that person's singing to someone's hand. But still, it always touched me. I always had a soft spot. My heart is so soft. I think it's made a junket. What's that? Oh, it's some kind of rennet dessert. But it's all gooey like that. I wish I was a tougher person. I'm not. I need some kind of armor for my heart. No, I like it all soft and gushy like that. It's like that goo that kids make in camp. What's that? I don't know. It's mainly cornstarch and dye. What do you do with it? Just play with it, squeeze it. That's what you do with my heart. Everything plays with it and squeezes it, music and poetry and everything. I'm so glad to be with you for some heart squeezing time. And hey, just I'm gonna sing to my hand and make myself cry. And if you're welcome to join in. You know, we heard the reference to a science fair earlier. I don't know where I heard that, but somebody was talking about a science fair, and it made me think about my school days, which were pretty bad. I wasn't a very good student, and I remember liking science for all the wrong reasons. And a science fair was coming up, and I decided I had a couple ideas for projects. So I approached my teacher and I said, my first idea is this. I would like to keep a brain alive in a jar. Is that possible to hook electrodes up to it and have the brain sort of, I don't know, controlling things? And she said, no, not really. I don't know what kind of brain you'd use, but no, I don't know that that's good. I said, all right. So I got another idea. I'm going to do that. So what I did is I made a pyramid out of aluminum, and then I put a razor blade under it to see if the pyramid power would keep the razor blade sharp. This was a theory that was floating around at the time, and I think what happened is, see, I was a curious person, and I was taken in by Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of. I think it was a show and say, hey, maybe spaceships are doing everything. I think that makes sense. And so I'd kind of fall for that because my imagination would get out ahead of me. And I didn't have really the discipline to really learn about something. You know, I'd decide on it and get in love with something and then, you know, go from there. I'd say, well, that sounds good. And then try to prove everything to kind of fit my idea already, instead of doing it the other way around, instead of being content with questions and always searching for something. So it wasn't really In Search Of. They should have named it, I found something, like that. And I guess that's not as interesting. Oh, I'm so glad to be with you. Why are we together? I don't know. Well, I just want to be here. I'm not sure I can help you at all. But I just think that people often are lonely. Why are they lonely? Because sometimes they follow their hearts. Why are they following their hearts? Their hearts lead them into places, lead them into sometimes into forests.
and say, I'm going to go explore that forest, even though I might get eaten by some lady who makes cookies out of children.
Oh, I've had those. They're not very good.
I know. We used to use animal products in bakery a lot of times, and it's not good. Those lard cookies. I know, but they don't do that so much anymore. I don't know that they make pastry out of children and everything. They used to make pies out of people. I know that from Sweeney Todd. I don't know if now they still go to barbers for the hair clippings. Can I get your hair clippings? I'm making a sort of calzone. But, you know, I don't think they use people anymore. I don't really know. I'm not much of a historian. But my science fair project didn't go over very well because it didn't really prove anything. And I should have had like a control. I should have had just a razor blade sitting out and then one under a pyramid. I don't know. I didn't know anything at the time. I still don't really. But I'm really more concerned now with just being there, being an assistant. I don't have to be right about things. You know, I know now, oh gosh, I don't really know anything. So I'll just try to be of some help to people because I think people are always following their hearts and it can make them lonely. I believe that people's number one fear is not necessarily death, but it's sort of being alone or ostracized or cast out from a group. How people say, you're not one of us anymore. Well, who am I? I seem to only identify as being part of some bigger thing. If I'm alone, then maybe my beliefs are wrong and I should change them, but I can't unsee things. I can't deny my heart. My heart has led me out here into the wilderness. Come see this thing. It's sitting by the creek. I think it's a dead animal. That's not a dead animal. It's a log. But I can see what you'd think. That log is in the shape of a dog. Oh, it is a dog. No, it's... Maybe it isn't. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to get close enough to it. I've seen many an alligator that I originally thought was a log, and then it turned out to be an alligator. Then it turned out to be a log again. So who knows? I think people... or things are zipping in and out of existence like that. I was the other day sitting in the yard and I was thinking about cicadas and I thought, you know, maybe people are reverse cicadas. Cicadas come out of the ground and they live there. They recreate and everything and then they die. And we do the opposite. You know, we procreate. Did I say recreate? The cicadas come out. They dress up in little Civil War costumes. Get out of here. And they're little historical reenactors. No, they procreate, and then they die. And we're just the opposite. We are reverse cicadas, like the reverse flash. We live our lives above ground, and then we go back in the ground when we die. Somebody has to put us there because we usually die first. It'd be more efficient, though, if you would say, oh, I know I'm dying. I better dig a hole and then, you know, crawl into it. That'd be kind of traumatic, though. What are you doing, Grandma? I'm digging into the ground. Oh, no. Is it that time already? Reverse cicada? Something I know about cicadas also is they say they live under the ground, and then they come out, and then they go back or something like that, but I've never seen this. I've only seen them sort of clinging to trees or flying into my head or in their death throes on the ground, or being attacked by a cicada killer, which is a type of giant wasp. But I've never really seen them burrow into the ground. I've dug into the ground. I've never come up with a shovel full of cicadas. So they're doing it on the sly, millions of them. Or they're tunneling into an alternate universe. They say there are many, many possible worlds, and some people say they exist, like David K. Lewis said. He doesn't say it anymore because he reverse cicaded. But that all these possible worlds that we create whenever we make a decision, that they actually exist in reality somewhere. There are all these other universes with us in them. Now, I don't know if I believe that because I don't know what I believe because I'm partially ignorant. I don't know where I got that, inherited it. I think it's been in my family for years, this congenital ignorance. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about decisions. As if people think about decisions as if they're forks in the road. But they're clearly not, I don't think. You know, you say, well, I could have done this and I did this. I think it's fuzzier than that. And what evolutionary biologists have now told us about speciation, Whoa, what are you talking about?
Well, see, in evolution, things can speciate.
How's that done?
Well, that's how they create that little V in the tree. That's how you... So you've got a species, right? And then what happens is that some of those species, because of they've become separated or they're living somewhere else, they start to change over time, right? That's what happens. And then they become unable to procreate with other of these, of what used to be their same species, right? So now you've got two different groups and they're not the same species anymore. That's speciation. And we used to think that maybe that happened abruptly, like, you know, two groups of birds, one of them lived on one island, one of them lived on another, and they didn't see each other for a while, then they were unable to recreate. But now we're told that this this V is blurrier than we thought, that it's like a fork on the road, and you go down one road, but you can still get over to the other road for a while. There's still a street. So, oop, I took the wrong road. I can still cut over there on 4th Street. And so it seems like the decisions are blurry, too. Everything is sort of fuzzy, isn't it? We like to think everything has got a point right there where we can think about what happens, but it's fuzzier than that. I know my thinking is fuzzy. There was books in the past called about fuzzy math and everything. We don't talk about that very much anymore, but I believe things used to be thought of as fuzzier. And my grandfather used to say, Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Buzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't fuzzy, was he? I go, I don't know what you're saying. Are you drunk? And he went, a little bit. Now, I know that the Bible says a lot of weird, unhelpful things, but it says something I'm very fond of talking about, too. So I'm going to talk about that for a minute, and I'm not going to tell you specifically where it is in the Bible, because when I've done that before, when I've quoted the Bible to a pious person to contradict something bad that they're doing, I've been told that that's the work of the devil. So whenever there's somebody who says they're pious and they're doing something clearly evil and you use their own Bible to remind them of that, that's apparently satanic. So I don't want to do that. I don't really know it that well, so that I can still remain semi-pious. But there's a very good lesson in it, I think, and that is that you can't unsee things. And what does that mean? So it tells us this, that let's say you're walking along the road and you see your friend's jacket, and it's a members only jacket. So you're like, that old thing, he looks terrible in it. But you know it's his. And you also know that it's kind of a hassle to sort of pick it up and bring it back. So you really, part of you wants to say, I'm just going to tell myself I didn't see it. You see? But that, I think, is wrong. And it's wrong for a couple of reasons. Not because it's just sort of objectively morally wrong and everything, but it's going to haunt you. You're going to be haunted by a spirit of a members-only jacket, which is the worst thing. It's going to be fluttering in your bedroom at night. You left me by the side of the road knowing that I was Tony's. So you got to bring it back to Tony. So you got to pick it up and go, I know this is a hassle. I wish I hadn't have seen it. And so a lot of us want to tell ourselves that we didn't see things that need to be fixed. We didn't see things that need our action, and we blind ourselves to it. Now, the more you do that, you create sort of phantoms, you create ghosts in your mind, and they really are going to haunt you. If you have any kind of heart that tells you what to do and what's right, if you have any kind of feeling for other people, and you keep suppressing it by telling yourself you didn't see things or you didn't hear things, you're going to have troubles. You're going to get a sort of a moral constipation. How can my heart get constipated? Oh, you'll know. You'll sort of, all of a sudden, your thinking will be so convoluted because you're making so many excuses for justifying your bad behavior that you'll just start getting confused and you won't be able to control who you hurt and all that kind of things. I see that all the time. Well, it doesn't just tell us that we should not ignore things we see. That's in the present. It also tells us that we should not ignore our ability to see into the future. You can see into the future. We all can see into the future a little bit, can't we? Let's say that I build a building and I have on top of it a flat roof, and it's pretty high in the air, right?
And I said, I'm going to have people up here. We're going to party and everything. And we're going to party on top of this flat roof. And then, oh, well, you know what? I'm thinking about the party that we're going to have. And now I'm thinking about one of us falling off of it. Oh, no. Well, there's a couple things I can do. I can pretend that I didn't have that thought. And then when they fall off of it, I'll just say, wow, what a shock. Who saw that coming? Or I can do something about it now, even though it's going to cost me. Oh, it's going to cost me money to build a gate or build a fence or build a wall around the top of the flat roof. But if I don't and that person falls, I'm going to have to think myself out of that. I'm going to have to, my heart is going to be damaged. So either I'm going to have to prevent myself from feeling from now on, or I'm going to have to face the fact that I can see into the future a bit and that I must do something in the present to take care of that future. Oh, we lie to ourselves, though, don't we? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. As Curly used to say, whoa, 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 whoa. And he'd also yell, Mo Larry the Cheese, like that. I love to yell that. I don't know why. Because I get upset. I go, man, I saw something, a mouse. Usually a mouse represents injustice. A mouse is the injustice. And my passions start going crazy. And maybe I'll become violent or something. And only my friends, that's Mo and Larry, that represents my friends, only my community can bring me something that can counteract it. What do we do to make injustice go away? What do we give the mouse to satisfy the mouse and make it go away? Cheese. What is the cheese that counters this angry passion that you experience when you're confronted with injustice? Maybe it's repair. Maybe it's doing the right thing. Maybe it's taking care of it. Maybe that is. We're always looking for what is the cheese. What is it? I didn't know that Three Stooges was that profound. Maybe they didn't either. Isn't it funny? You can find these things in it. I approach everything as if it's poetry. I give it credit. I say, maybe it's trying to speak to me. You know, I'm looking for these messages. Why would I shut my ears to things? If the universe is trying to talk to me, it's kind of going to talk to me in all sorts of forms. I have learned, go back and watch the old Globetrotters cartoon and learn some morality. That's what I say. You don't have to read the Bible. Go back and see what it means to work together, what it means to help people out, what it means to seek justice. And sometimes it's embedded right in those old cartoons and everything. How can that be? I know. So it's interesting that the Bible, or a lot of times any thing that's trying to tell you about morality, can tell you, you know, you can't ignore the past. You can't pretend it didn't happen. You can't pretend the present isn't happening. You can't pretend you don't see Tony's members only jacket. You can't pretend that you didn't foresee something happening on that roof. You must act, and you must do something about it. But at what cost? Sometimes, you know, when your heart directs you to do something, you can lose the one thing that's the most valuable thing in the world to you. You have to confront your greatest fear, and that's being ostracized. How many of you were perhaps raised in a religion, and you're going along and you're learning stuff, and you go, that seems right. Yes, I think be good to one another, be honest, and everything like that. And then the preacher or something will say something from the pulpit, or some leader, some adult will tell you something about your own religion, and in your heart you'll go, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, that doesn't seem right. A lot of times they'll say, everybody who isn't one of us is doomed and does not deserve to live. And you go, whoa, that doesn't seem quite right. So to remain part of your group, I must accept this thing that I know in my heart is wrong? Yes, or be cast out. So conform or be cast out? Yes. Like, is that from Rush? Are you quoting the rock group Rush? Maybe. All right. Well, listen, I don't want to be cast out. So maybe I'm going to have to do some mental gymnastics. Now, here's the problem with mental gymnastics. Did you ever see somebody on a balance beam? Imagine if you lose your balance, what happens? You go crashing down and you smash your genitals. That's what happens when you try to do mental gymnastics, too. You are going to possibly crush your own thought gonads. By falling off that, but you fall off that parallel bar, non-parallel bar, non-parallel bar. What is it? I don't know. Not parallel and non-parallel are two different things, I think. One is a little chocolate snow cap. But it's hard how you step away from the crowd and say, I know this is not right, and I know that I'm going to be ostracized from the only group that I have known ever. Some people's groups are so tight they don't know anybody outside of it, and to be ostracized would literally mean to go into the wilderness. And there are so many stories, really. Nebuchadnezzar et al., that was his last name. What a mouthful that is. First name Nebuchadnezzar, last name et al. No, and others in the Bible who have accepted something and lost their power, and then suddenly they're all alone. They're not, they can't be, not only cannot they be the head of the group, they can't even be in it anymore. And most of us don't have that kind of courage. Most of us don't have the courage to stand alone like that. Oh my gosh, you start to question, did I do the right thing? Am I crazy? Is this wrong? Am I standing up for something that's worth standing up for? I don't know. The price I'm paying is a heavy one. All of life, the thing that makes life the sweetest is all these people's being loved by others. Well, what if that goes away? What will I have? You know, I have always said I'm awfully lucky because my soulmate turned out to be me. So I'm pretty blessed that way. I know that I always have one person that's going to love me, and that's me. I used to let people into my head and tell me that I couldn't love myself or I couldn't be my own ally or anything, that was sort of selfish, and to do that made you a psychopath or something. But I'm clearly not a psychopath. I love others. I'd be willing to do things for others, to sacrifice myself and all. But one thing I don't want to do is just to hurt myself. I'm me. I want to, deep down, I want to feel good. I want to feel joy. I want to feel happiness. And the whole point of being with others is so I feel good, you know? So I don't want to give other people complete and utter power over me. So I got to keep a little bit to myself. And so I've found a way, not completely. I'm not saying I'm like this all the time, but I try to not beat up on myself, to be my own bully and to self-bully. You know, now I'm not saying the voices in my head are completely kind and nurturing all the time. If you want to know what the voices in Hardy White's head sound like, they sound like Butchie and Lou. Those are the voices in my head. Those are the other me's, right? That's what I hear. But, you know, I know that their love is steadfast. I know that my friends are not going to abandon me. Sometimes we have conflict, but they can't ever leave because they're trapped there. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. They're trapped in a house that is Don. And Don's always been the house. And when we think he's not the house, that's just an illusion. Oh, what are you talking about? I don't know. I'm trying to use my imagination to populate my world. Oh, and I'm glad that you're in it. I'm glad that you're my friends. I can't unsee you. I can't pretend that I didn't see you out there. I can't pretend that I don't have a role in this world. I can't pretend that I might not have something to say. Now, I realize that I don't have many answers, or any even, but I know that I got to pitch in. I got to do something. And so that's what I try to do. So I try to go on the radio and just tell you what I think is up and tell you I know about the struggle of being lonely and cast out. I know what it's like to be out in the wilderness and have others tell you, oh, no, you're the only one who believes that. I've been released from groups because of that. Say, no, you're not believing what everybody else believes. And so that's it. And I go, really, that's it? Conform or gone? Can't we all just talk about it? Can't we all open our eyes? It's very difficult because you don't, you know, you say, well, if I have to see everything, if I can't unsee things, then I'm really just at the mercy of the whole universe. I could be walking around, minding my business. I got to get to the store and I see something that is going to take me off my path and distract me. And you're telling me I can't ignore it? I gotta ignore some things. I'm gonna be going willy-nilly everywhere. Oh, but you see, your own plans might be wrong. Maybe you're being talked to by the universe. Say, come do this. Help me. Help me. We all have our little plan of something we want to do. Every time I sit down to do the show, I think I want to do one thing, and another thing comes out. My heart says, move over. I'm going to do the talking. I got something to say, and I don't care. I'm not going to be afraid. I can't be afraid anymore. Okay. You sound very gruff. Yeah, well, I work hard. My heart works hard. Thunk, 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 thunk. Doesn't take any time off. If it did, I'd be dead. I think my brain doesn't either. It's got to do so much in private, because if I knew everything that was going on, oh, it would exhaust me. I only get a little, your brain only lets you in on a little what's going on, because it's like, you don't really need to know. It's like a government. So here, you just stay here in the front office. There's a lot of things back there that if you started to interfere with, things would go terribly wrong. So you go about your business up here. All right. Oh, the conscious mind. It's very, very narrow. Just does its little thing, listens to the radio, plays a ukulele. Why were you playing the ukulele? That's so obnoxious. In that, I've always liked the ukulele, and I think what happens is that something will get popular, and people will love it and get something out of it. And then the minute that people start to love something, our system wants to exploit it. Say, well, somebody loves that. I can use it to sell them something. And so everything that begins to bring people joy is then used to trick them. And so we get suspicious of things that bring us joy, and so we reject them a lot. I say, well, no, we don't like that anymore. So we turn things away, and we turn to something new. And then when a lot of people like it, it gets exploited, and we turn it away. And we just end up giving away all these things that bring us joy because they are the keys to our house. And people who are untrustworthy get those keys, and they come in and rob us. So this suspicion is absolutely justified. We are constantly being robbed like that. If you have trust, your trust is going to be exploited. Why? So somebody can get something from you, because our whole way that we've organized ourselves is to take things from people. So if somebody has something, and the best way to get them is to have them give it to you voluntarily. So you have to trick them a bit, because people don't want to give things up voluntarily for nothing. So I want you to give me that valuable thing, and I'm going to give you something that you don't really need. All right. So what I want you to do is I want to take your water or your land or something, but I'm going to give you a little old shell or something for it. All right. And for that to happen, you need to be tricked a bit. That's why we've become suspicious of all human interaction and everything. It seems that people only like us because they want us to do something. It's very tough. I know that every time my doorbell rings, I know that this is what's going to happen. I go, I open it up, and it's going to be a young person that is in some kind of golf shirt with a logo on it and a clipboard. And he or she is going to say, hello, I'm so sorry to, I know you didn't expect anybody to come by. I hope it's not inconvenient. I don't want to take up much of your time. And I want you to know that I'm not selling you anything. Oh, really? Yes, I'm not selling you anything. So now every time salesmen come to your door, they say, I'm not selling you anything.
All right. Well, that's good. You're just here to be my friend.
They're not. But they're going to look you in the eye and lie to you and say, I'm not selling you anything. Well, that's exactly what they're about to do. But what they're trying to do is trick you for a minute, think they're going to give you something. All right, you're going to give me something for free. Oh, yes. We're going to give you a free assessment of your house to see if there's something lacking. And then maybe we can help you with it, coincidentally. Oh, wow. That's great. So they always tell you that. I'm not selling you anything. And you're supposed to believe that. And that hurts my heart. Because, never has somebody just come to my door and said, Hi. Well, I live down the street. I just wanted to say hi. All right. Well, I'm a little suspicious because that's how David Lynch's movie Inland Empire opens, and that doesn't
turn out really great. But it'd be nice if people just did that. So, yeah, I just, you know, I figured we live next door, and maybe if we ever need one another or something, okay. I had a neighbor move in, and she's never introduced herself or anything because she's very, very wealthy. But her property manager came over and said, hey, if you ever need anything, just call me. I go, all right, that's great. You don't actually live there, but it's nice that I have my neighbor so wealthy that she's able to hire somebody to be a neighbor for her, which I think is not terrible, really. But, you know, at least I know them that way, you know. So if there's some complaint or something, the property manager will take care of it. Isn't that wonderful? So I feel a little bit blessed, semi-blessed. That's my life. That's my book I'm writing. Oh, please buy my book, Semi-Blessed. That's why I'm on here. I'm really not just giving you away. I want you to buy. Please buy my book. No, I don't have a book. I'm not selling anything. I know that it's acceptable to do that, and people have to make money, right? But I just feel like, I don't feel that sometimes our relationship feels sacred, almost. You know? I mean, it's wonderful to have friends that don't ask anything of you. And I try not to. I try not to get, I mean, I want you to listen to my show, but I mean, that's the same thing as your grandma saying, could you please drop by? I'm lonely. That's exactly, I mean, I'm not really getting anything from it except all the wealth in the world to me is I get to visit with you, which is beautiful. If I could be part of your life, it makes just me feel good, you know, because I can't unsee things. And I look out and I see people are lonely and worried. And about a lot of things. I mean, you know, from anything from paying their rent to their cat is sick to they just found out they're sick and they're scared and they don't know what the future's going to bring. Or maybe it's something else. There's all sorts of pain, you know. So don't try to go around evaluating other people's pain. It's like, oh, yeah, you're have anxiety about your career, but I have cancer. Yes, I mean, some things, I guess, are worse than others. But it doesn't ever help anybody with their pain to get into a pain competition with them. You know, we always think people are getting away with something. I think especially the people who have it the worst. You know, I saw people buying fatty foods with food stamps. People always say that. You know, oh, yeah, well, they're getting away with something, aren't they? Why don't you go around, you tell people what they can eat and everything. You tell somebody who barely has the will to go on because their life is so crummy. You tell them they're getting away with something, and really their life is better. If their life is better than yours, and you can put food on your table, then maybe there's something really messed up about your life. If you feel threatened by people that are hopeless, then I don't know what to tell you. I try not to begrudge anybody their happiness. I mean, unless they're stealing out of my pocket. You know. So what? If people, I used to have rose bushes in front of my house. And there was this lady who used to come and steal my roses. You know? And I wanted to go yell at her, but I was thinking, I mean, it's not like she's going off selling and making $1 million. She just wants a rose. And she was, oh, bless her heart, poor thing. You know, I don't even mean that ironically. I looked at her and I thought, oh, you know, I don't want her life. She can have my roses. You know, I don't want to be stolen from. It doesn't feel good at all. You know, I'd rather somebody ask me. But gosh, you know, people are struggling. And you can't unsee that. You can't pretend that was the Queen of England stealing my roses. I couldn't do it. I knew what it was. And so I really had to think about it for a while. I don't want to put more misery in the world like that. I feel like I can't take it out, but I'm not going to add to it. You know, I feel like I can't necessarily repair the world. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough to do that. But I can put down my hammer and stop wrecking it, right? At least I can do that.
I don't know how to solve the problems that have been going on for years. Things have been happening before I got here, and I'm not wise enough to take care of those things, but I can certainly not make it worse. You see what I'm saying? I moved into a rental unit, and this rental unit is a mess. It's a wreck, and I'm not very handy, so I can't renovate it. But what I can do is not put my fist through the wall and make another hole. I can do that. I can at least take care of what's here. You ever lived in like a filthy old rental house and you clean it? You just keep it clean. It's like, well, I can only do so much. The plaster's falling off the ceiling, but you're still wiping down the counters. That's perfectly sane. That makes sense. That's fine. Things can be worse. So do what you can. And I realized my show is what this is, what our time together is just me wiping off the formica in a dirty place. I'm just wiping it down, even though the table's broken. I'm going to clean it up for us. Maybe we can have a little moment in time together. And our soft hearts can meet each other.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
You're talking to your hand.
I know. Oh, it's going to make me cry. You know, singing a little lullaby to something that's innocent. I think that's why when we find a little something, even if it's a puppet, and the puppet represents helplessness, represents something that's so innocent that it's not in any way contributing to all this bad stuff, then somehow it opens up our compassion a little bit and say, well, this at least, you know, I've come to be suspicious of all human beings and everything, but this little puppet, this little sweet little child puppet is without guile. It's not saying, I'm not trying to sell you anything. It's just open and innocent. And it sometimes that gives us cracks a little door there on your heart. And you can start seeing that world with a little more compassion. It's hard. It's difficult. And it's difficult to be separate. I think that's one of the problems that's going on right now is people are afraid of being ostracized by a group that they're willing to believe and concede all sorts of horrible things. And I understand that. There's a weakness of spirit in the world right now. And it's hard when we stand up. Sometimes we stand up in a curly seeing a mouse sort of way. And we start punching and getting violent and being part of the problem. Is there a way to do it? Yes. Mo, Larry, the cheese. Friends. And spiritual nutrition. Miracle nutrition. Letting our heart be nourished by the truth. We tell stories all the time. And in a lot of religious traditions, it is a commandment to tell certain stories over and over again. Why are we telling this? Why do we have to tell the Purim story? I've heard it already. Because this truth might disappear. Do you understand? Generations go by, people die, and then they don't know it. So even though you heard it, you got to hear it again. You got to hear this story over and over again. Because if it disappears, if this truth that people in the past have tried so long and hard to pass on to the future, information, here, this can save you. Here's the recipe for joy. Go and do it. All right, I heard it. No, you're going to forget it. Repeat it to children all the time. Tell them. And we forget. Do you ever ask your children, some child, and say, hey, do you know the story of the fox and sour grapes?
No.
How many of these little moral fables don't you know?
I don't know any of them.
You go, what happened? I thought everybody knew them. Yeah, everybody, and they're now 80. So you don't think about that. When we don't pass on these stories, when we don't tell them over and over again, they can disappear. And you can have, the earth can be populated with people that don't know basic truths and don't know things and having to relearn them again. Oh, imagine if you forgot the plans to making a car.
and you had to start all over again. There was no cars, there was no plans for it, and you got to start from scratch. You'd go back to cart. You'd have to work all the way up again. So things, you know, things can disappear. And then what? So don't stop telling stories. Don't stop repeating things. Don't feel like you got to throw them out because they're popular. You know, I always think that all the time. Oh, movements get thrown out. Art movements, or people are afraid to be inspired by other things, to think they're copying or whatever like that, but maybe we're not done. Musical genres. So that's old. Don't make any new ska songs. Why not? Are we done? Have they all been made? What if we lose that completely? Oh, please. Please, recycle. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're never going to be fully alone. There's other people following their hearts. Look, look up in the forest. Look how many have come out here, have wandered out here, following their little hearts. And where are the hearts? They're down there drinking by the stream. They're all gathered. Look, look, there's a beautiful gathering of hearts at the stream in the woods. We thought we were alone and we thought we would lose it, but there they are. And we can all be together, all of us. Imagine if we were all willing to be cast out, there would be a huge gathering of outcasts. Oh, my friends, have the courage to step apart. And, you know, it's tough. And you say, well, all sides, it doesn't mean go into the center of things. A lot of people say, well, there seems to be sides, and I'm just going to say I'm right here in the center of both sides. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's losing, you know, both, and say, I have to really stand over here by myself and say this is wrong, and maybe I'm wrong. And, oh, it's tough. It's tough. But I'm telling you that you can have joy in your heart knowing that you've not lying to yourself and that you're not tangled up in lies like that, that you're not looking away, that you haven't closed your eyes, that you haven't denied that you can see into the future, that you aren't denying the past. Oh, it's so great to be with you, and it's so great to be able to shamelessly play my ukulele. It's context. It's context. Nobody ever seen a picture of Iz playing his ukulele thinking, oh, that guy. No, you think, oh, the magical, wonderful, beautiful Iz, the Hawaiian musician. And he's gone now. He's reverse cicaded too. And, but that's so funny. Some things are transcendent. And we go, well, yeah, well, not that, though. Oh, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I try to bring you every week. I try to inject some mystery into things, you know? And lately I've been talking about something that intrigues me. And that's the idea that there's many worlds and many versions of us. And I'm thinking now that maybe all those versions of us are all right here in the same place, too. It's just that we see them from different angles. It all seems like it's the same thing, but maybe there's a million versions of us, billions of versions of us. Maybe we're different things. Maybe there's not just one Butchie. Maybe Butchie's also Mozahosetz. You know? Maybe there is no constant, except for Lou. Maybe Lou is Lou everywhere. But everybody else, maybe they change. Maybe your grandpa is my grandpa. Maybe your experience is my experience. Maybe, who knows? Facets, right? Maybe there's a hotel with an infinite amount of rooms, but they're not really an infinite amount of rooms, just an infinite amount of doors, and there's only one room, one great infinite room. Could it be? I don't know. But I've been trying to put those things out there. I don't know if you like it or not. Sometimes I hear that you do, sometimes I hear that you don't. Oh, and yes, you know, I do, my heart gets crushed. It's difficult putting anything out there or saying anything because somebody will go, no, I disagree with you. What? What? Really? Are we not friends anymore? No, I just disagree. Well, are you sure you disagree? I mean, I said it so fast and you reacted so quickly. Maybe we don't really disagree. Maybe we ought to talk about it. Maybe that's an illusion that we disagree. Sometimes I think that. Sometimes I think we're so quick to think, oh, no, not me. Nope. So attached to your identity. Okay, I can't possibly be like that other person. I don't know. I don't know anything. In fact, forget everything I've said. If you think I've disagreed with you, I just love me. I'm sorry. You're wrong. Just accept me. I'm sorry. I don't want to be alone. Don't make me be alone. I don't want to just don't go anywhere. Will you stay with me until I fall asleep? Sit here, sing to me until I fall asleep. I feel so scared. I don't know what's happening. Please don't leave me. You make me feel better when we're together. That's all I want. It's just be here until I fall asleep. Be with me. You ever been around somebody who's dying? Yeah, people don't want to die alone, right? Do they? And maybe they, you know, when they're dead, they won't know if anybody's there or not, will they? But it doesn't matter because those last minutes, you say, I feel more connected. I feel still alive if you're still alive. You know, I feel like we're all in this together. And when I'm in the group, I feel better. And so I know how difficult it is to stand up and say my heart feels differently or that seems wrong. But every time I've felt that, it's because other people are being excluded. When it happened to me, it was because I heard someone say that others don't matter or that others, because of their beliefs, are not equal. Or they don't, you know, I couldn't get my head around that. I go, well, you know, I know that people have made me mad, and I do identify with some people more than others, but just in theory, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know? Why would, and if there was something that made everything, wouldn't it love it all equally? Don't parents love their children equally? No, they got favorites. I don't know, do they? I've loved equally. I've had friends that I've loved all the same. Each in their way. They're different, but my love seems to be constant. It's don't love one more than the other necessarily. Maybe I do. I don't know. Oh, my friends, if you're comfortable saying I don't know, then I love you so much. There's nothing worse than thinking you know something. It can blind you. And I know it feels so helpless thinking you don't, thinking how much is a mystery. But believe me, that's closer to the truth. It's all a great mystery. And you may never know. And you're going to die in the middle of a story that has no ending and had no beginning. So it's like, you know what it's like? It's like you see the first couple of Harry Potter movies and you die between right after you saw number 3 and before they're finished making number 4 and you never see the other ones. That's the way it is. Everybody leaves life in the middle of things. I know, it's frustrating. So you'll never see it all. You'll never really know. So get used to it now, maybe. And join me every week, just you and I, hanging out. Maybe I'll give a little respite from people demanding things of you, or trying to get you to believe something or buy something. Hey, I'm not trying to sell you anything. You know that's a lie. I am trying to sell you something, a little bit, and that's the belief that we should take care of one another, love one another, be good to one another, be good to yourself. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for joining me, and I'll see you again next week.
I was standing at the crossroads. Tonight gives us the subject, what's your brand? What's your brand? We live today in a world where people just strive off of brands. Amen. People like various types of brands or commodities of different things. Mm-hmm. Amen. Some folk like ivory soap. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. While others like zest soap. Yeah. You can say amen tonight. All right. Some folk like, amen, Camel cigarettes. Uh-huh. While other folk like Coos. Mm-hmm. What's your brand tonight? Yeah. Some folk like Maxwell House coffee. Yeah. While other folk like Sanka coffee. Yeah. Oh, we need an amen. Amen. Some folk like beech nut chewing gum. All right. While other folk like spearmint. Yeah. Everybody has a brand. All right. What's your brand tonight?
Walk with me, Lord. Walk walk with me.
The Reverend Willie Morganfield and his congregation, Walk With Me. Very popular gospel tune. The last 3 or 4 decades, you hear everyone singing that. From the You Better Get Right LP on the Jewel record label, the Reverend Willie Morganfield. And right before that, we heard Reverend Samuel Butler and his church and his congregation. Deep down in my heart, I believe that was Miss Butler singing the lead on that. From the Only the Strong Shall Survive LP, also on the Jewel record label, out of Shreveport, Louisiana, the Reverend Samuel Butler and the Reverend Willie Morganfield getting us underway here this evening on Sinner's Cross.